Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk, live from Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street. Mike DeTay along with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come on by and shop for all your Labor Day. It's a long weekend. Food and drink specials right here at Rouse's. And we got a lot of people here. One of the big savings they got is on the VIP ham, $7.99 per pound. Save $2 a pound on the Chessie's VIP ham here at Rouse's. Guys, I'll give you a little bit of a rundown on some of the scores of the games, and it's sort of been a pull away.
Give me some updates. Let me hear
For Georgia, 34-3 over Clemson.
Wow. That's surprising. I thought Georgia would win, but I didn't think they would thump them.
Man, Charlie and I, we had the long talk about it. That was one of the games we picked. We picked Georgia, and we gave the 13.5. I said, Charlie, you don't have to worry about it. I just felt, man, after last year, all that talk about how good Oregon was and how well coached, and they are. Oregon's a well-coached team. Man, they got killed by Georgia last year.
Yeah.
And Clemson, and I got big question marks about the quarterback. I think their defense is okay. But they can't hold up forever. You got to put points on the board. They just couldn't do it. And having today, again, late in the fourth quarter, 34-3 Georgia over Clemson. There's a delay, weather delay, in West Virginia. Penn State with a 20-6 lead over West Virginia. And late in the fourth quarter, Virginia Tech has come back and taken the lead 27-20 over Vanderbilt. With about 4 minutes left in the game, Virginia Tech 27-20 over Vanderbilt with about 4 minutes in it. Man, if I'm Coach Kurt Ferentz, I save this highlight reel. They beating Illinois State 40-0. Man, when's the last time Iowa scored 40 points?
No, and at the beginning of that game.
Well, they fired the OC too, right?
Yeah. No, and at the beginning of the game, though, it was 6-0. They kicked two field goals. Like, what? They still can't score.
Right.
They still can't score.
That's about right.
So they finally, yeah. No, you look at that blue-collar Midwest Iowa Hawkeyes.
Like it they seems don't like, get no boom blue-collar
yeah,
than that.
It seems like they've always the defense, but can their offense score?
Another score, too, is I got a text about it, Oklahoma State. Man, you don't never like to play a team, and they got a Dakota in there. And South Dakota State, Oklahoma State has a 17-3 lead with 4 minutes left in the second quarter over South Dakota State. Man, we saw Prime. Coach Prime, man, he had quite a battle on his hands. Fortunately, he got, you know, his son Shadir, and, man, I think maybe the best player in college football, Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
You see him play cornerback, wide receiver. You know, he sort of tilts the field when he's out there. And, man, they were hanging all over him, and he was still making catches for Colorado. But, man, did North Dakota give them a battle?
You know, I did watch some of that game last week. South Dakota State at New Mexico, and Albuquerque and South Dakota State ended up coming back to Jackrabbits and winning that game. But, you know, it's amazing. I still call it 1AA. But you look in that region, I guess the biggest universities would be Minnesota or Nebraska. But like all the Dakotas, North Dakota State, South Dakota State,
Montana State,
all in that region. Am I going to say four, like in the top five teams are all from that region?
Okay, didn't you go to a game? Montana.
In Missoula. In the University of Montana. Northwestern played them when they had Craig Knoll, a quarterback who played with the Packers and the Bills, and they had Nathan Black, who was a wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers. And I'm telling you, I was on the sideline, and my best friend, Mike Hagan, who played at the University of Montana, he's from Seattle. He's my first roommate. You know, he passed away in 2015. But Northwestern was playing and they have Hell's Canyon. When that wind comes down, and I tell you what, it's the only game in town. It was packed, that stadium. and God, what's his name? Who went to the Buffalo Bills? Terrence McGee. He ran back a punt all the way, and so Northwestern's winning 14-0. I'm jumping and going crazy on the sideline. And my friend Mike's going.
I remember Mike telling
so Mike's
story.
Getting Bobby. You can't do that because I'm right in front of the Mizzou student body. They said they could throw a whiskey bottle and hit you in the head upside
well,
the head.
He was hoping it was maybe half full.
And they all asked him, Mike, who's your crazy friend? Are we going to jump him and all that? He goes, Mike, he's telling me you can't cheer. But I never forget when Terrence McGee ran back that punt and then Deuce. You went about the fixes on. He crossed in the goal line, and the official's looking all around, like left, right, looking left, no, and then just drops the flag. And all of a sudden, so they call Clippers. Some that was like, he ain't going to call nothing. I go, man, I see that. Nah, I know the fix on you. Y'all want to win just because, Mizzou, because they were supposed to win.
Right.
But we went up there and, a playoff game. And here, Northwest Louisiana from Natchitoches going up to Missoula. So, yeah, they love their football, but it's all a game in town.
Yeah.
Montana State or University of Montana. Same thing in Dakotas. North Dakota, whether it's state I look at it, I'm always intrigued because, like, North Dakota State, their fan support, the Bison, they have, like, it's a little dome.
They play inside. They have the dome.
Yeah, they play inside. Then you got South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits. And then you got the South Dakota Coyotes. And then you got University of North Dakota, the Fighting Sioux. I wonder if they still the Fighting Sioux. That's probably not politically correct. You can't be fighting. You might want it to be the Sioux, like the Seminoles or something. But, those Dakotas, not all of them are going to Nebraska. And then you see the athletes they get.
Well, another part of it, Bobby, you think about it, and I learned this from Scott Shanley, a lot of those high schools, they play.
So it was six-man football or something? Or eight-man?
It's eight-man football. So it's not even 11-man football. It's eight-man football. And so you have to play both ways. You have to play both ways. And then I know that they get a lot of kids also from Minnesota.
Yes, okay. They do.
That come over and play. And so it's always intriguing. You're thinking, man, how did this kid end up there?
Yeah, how did they end up? Opportunity, dude?
Number three pick.
Yeah,
Trey Lance.
Look at that,
Trey Lance.
And who's that other quarterback playing in NFL? Schtick. Mike, remember that?
Yeah. He's with the LA Chargers.
He was with the Chargers.
Yeah. So you see, they have players because it's all about opportunities. But dude, it's not like when I was in like junior high or high school, Nebraska. Now they got an NFL coach who had success at Temple. What's his name? Mike was with Carolina. The Nebraska coach. Hey, coach, I can think.
Oh, you're talking about
Matt Rhule. Now, Matt, can Matt Rhule do it in Nebraska? Because you talk about a loyal fan base that ain't won nothing. Nebraska's been so irrelevant since they joined the Big Ten. And did they just, boy, you talk about all that red, that sea of red, if they can ever win.
Since Tom Osborne retired.
Bob Devaney, Tom Osborne.
Bob started it, and then Tom took over. Whoa, they went through a run.
Boy, that's when that used to be a rivalry game. I didn't have a dog in the hunt, but like Oklahoma and Nebraska with Johnny Rogers running back punts. They don't even play no more, but obviously the impact there. You know what we think of Nebraska, the young kids now? They might think of a College World Series Omaha.
That's about right.
Yeah,
it's not even a 12th man anymore.
It's just about all that. That's where the College World Series is in Nebraska,
but
Omaha.
But you think where Matt won at, and he wins at Temple, he wins at Baylor. He wasn't an NFL coach. It didn't work out for him. But he's a really good college coach. I think he's got the right mindset.
To turn Nebraska around.
Now he's got a freshman quarterback.
Yeah, number one recruit.
And Rioli.
Yeah.
And his dad was a former NFL center.
Was a center for the Lions forever.
And so now the son takes over, and you look at their schedule. They got a shot.
Had originally committed to Georgia.
Yes.
Had originally committed to Georgia, moved to Georgia to play high school ball over there, and then had a change of heart. And I think he was on – is his dad or someone still on the staff for Nebraska?
Yes.
And so that obviously helped as well.
But, Mike, you know how you're saying all the college scores. Let me tell you right now, you know who's already on the hot seat, and he's won national championship. A couple of them at Clemson. Who's on
Dabo
the hot
Sweeney?
Seat? Never. Mike, how they – okay, you can lose to Georgia, but you can't get freaking crushed. I mean, when you say that, Mike, I know they were 13.5-point underdog or whatever.
Well, Bob, with less than a minute left, it is 34-3. No, that's a bad defeat for Dabo. No, you had a lot of time to prepare for Georgia. A lot of time to prepare for him.
No, at least you got to be competitive. It would be like if you have expectation of fan base, because Clemson is not a fan base, we just competing. No, they've won national championships, and it wasn't that long ago. And, Mike, that's embarrassing. And I can tell you what, I remember taking Cameron Hayward and T-Bob at a Nike workout at Clemson. From Alpharetta, Georgia, where we lived, it was only a 2.5-hour drive. So, you know, you go work out with the scouts and how they rate you, like 3-star, 4-star, 5-star, and all that. Well, it was all held at Clemson and how they love their football team. Now, the one who loves their football team and hasn't won anything is the Gamecocks. South Carolina, they got a stadium that holds 86,000. Now, they haven't won anything. But I think right now, South Carolina Gamecocks, the fan base might be more optimistic there than they are at Clemson now after this butt whooping by Georgia.
Oh, because, man, when you think about it, this team, I remember getting a phone call from Pete Jenkins. And he's like, Mike, I've just left Clemson after 4 days. I've never had a defensive line that I've coached like this. They had 3 first-round pick defensive linemen, and the fourth guy would end up being a third-round pick. He said, I've never coached a college team of that starting 4. 3 of them ended up being a first-round pick guy.
Well, look how much better he's gotten for the Saints, Brian Brzee.
Yeah.
And Deuce, I want
and
you
they
to,
had Miles Murphy that was playing right. in was a first round pick.
Deuce, I want you to comment on this because you know how you look at the progression from year 1 to 2. I look at last year. I said, oh, well, he can rush the passer. You look at even passes defending, how he's batting balls down. So you see his instincts. But it's like, can he get better against the run? It just seems like now, because you were there every day, doesn't it seem like now that he can be in every down defensive tackle? I know you're still in the rotation and you're going to get spelled. But right now, even, I mean, if he has an awesome start to the season and Saunders isn't there, I mean, Saunders might be in a guy in the rotation and Brian Brzee might end up starting.
I think Brian's with the
Nathan
Shepard.
Right, yeah. He's a starter.
I think him and Shepard are starters.
But I'm saying if he does an outstanding job on first down and he's good against the run, they're not going to replace him.
The shoulder's healthy.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what it was. Remember he had that procedure on the shoulder earlier and he couldn't fully extend to be able to lock an offensive lineman out or shed.
Yeah.
So he's always had the spin move. That's one of the things. He's so
he's
quick.
Good at that.
He's quick and he's devastating with it. But the shoulder is 100% healthy. And so my only question is, and obviously a coach can handle this. If I have a team that is committed to running the football 35 times.
Right.
Can he hold up in that situation?
Yeah, well, how is he?
I want a thumper. I wanted somebody that's a little bit more heavier.
Right, and it can't be like, boy, he was hell in the first quarter. In the fourth quarter,
he's wore down.
He's worn out. Yeah.
But the Saints, all like you talked about, they rotate their guys anyway.
Yeah, try to keep them fresh.
Try to keep them fresh. But that would be my concern if I had to worry about a complete game. But him being able to go out there and hold his own, hold up on his own against a team that runs the ball now, he can do that definitely.
Well, I can tell you what, the guy that I'm pleased with, Mike, do y'all comment on this, is defensive tackle John Ridgeway from the Washington Commanders. I think, boy, you want to talk about scouts doing their homework.
He's a big dude.
Okay, here, a 3-year guy. He's an Arkansas Razorback. Now, he was a 7-round pick.
Dallas, right?
Yeah, yes. By Dallas. And I was reading where high motor rotation provided the depth. He was original a 5th-round pick by Dallas. To me, stout. When I was reading, stout against the run. He's had 6 starts, so he got that experience, and he's played 30% of the snaps. We can do that in a Saints uniform. I think when he plays 30% of the snaps, you know, because once you're in there, you're like a starter. Whether it's only 30% of the time, I think John Ridgeway will be an outstanding pickup for the Saints in the trenches.
Deuce, hold on to the thought there. We'll answer it when we come back. We'll have a lot more here on a special edition of Sports Talk. We're live at Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street in New Orleans. Myself along with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come on by and shop at Rouse's for your big Labor Day weekend. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk, live from Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street in New Orleans. Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettelier, along with Deuce McAllister. Come on by and visit us and come shop for all your Labor Day needs right here at Rouse's on Chapatula Street. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, he's the voice of the Carolina Panthers, Anish Shroff. Anish, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Must be that time of the year, huh, guys?
Yes, it's that time of the year.
That time of the year, man.
And right now, people ask me, Bobby, don't tell me we're going to finish last in the NFC South. And because they got, like, who's fighting for the cellar, either the Carolina Panthers or the Saints? That's kind of the perception as far as the fan bases, because, oh, watch out for the Falcons. That means they'll disappoint. And then you look at Tampa Bay and how they've kind of lived up, not to expectations, but they're kind of confident in the players that they've paid. But what is your take heading into the season? Because it's going to be here before you know it. Carolina at the Saints. I can tell you right now, if the Saints lose to Carolina, the natives, the Houdat Nation, will be restless and want to fire everybody.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I kind of look at that game and I say, if the Panthers, you know, from the Carolina perspective, if the Panthers get off to a fast start, that could very well turn into a road game for New Orleans by halftime. And you guys know that well.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question about it. Anish, one of the things the Panthers did in this offseason, and certainly had some Louisiana flavor to it, add two big guards to the lineup. And this sort of reminds me a little bit. Bob and I talk about it all the time. Sean Payton had a philosophy of really building from the inside out with his guard play. And they bring in Damian Lewis, we know really well, a Louisiana guy, goes to LSU. And starts off with Seattle, and he's a big man, and he knows how to move people up front in the run game. And then Robert Hunt, another Louisiana guy, goes to University of Louisiana, comes from the Dolphins. And so how's that working out? I know they got the veteran already in Austin Corbett at center, but that was two big money free agents they bring in, and certainly with strong Louisiana connections in Damian Lewis and Robert Hunt.
Well, I think the big thing to remember, and you guys will appreciate this, is the Panthers looked at what the Saints did with Drew Brees. And when they built that offensive line with a smaller quarterback in mind, they wanted to be strong guard, center, guard. And last year, the two guard positions were a revolving door. Bradley Bozeman a year ago was not really a fit in the new blocking scheme, more zone blocking than downhill duo power blocking. So they said, hey, we got to give Bryce Young a deep pocket, and we need to be really strong guard, center, guard. So they spent $100 million on Hunt and Lewis, and essentially it was looking at what did the Saints do with Drew Brees? They basically took that blueprint, and they said, let's apply this to Bryce Young in Carolina.
Deuce?
Anish, how you doing, my brother? I thought, you know, I'm surprised to be able to get you on a Saturday, man. Your schedule is definitely busy.
Well, I was in Oklahoma last night, and now we were able to get back to Charlotte despite some flight delays, so we made it.
And when you see Damian Lewis, you got to ask him about exit 119. He'll know exactly.
Goodness.
He'll know exactly what you're talking about. Just remember that exit 119. Tell him you talked to some people from exit 119, and so.
And you know what? I'm gonna bring that up next time I see him.
Definitely do so. He'll get a good laugh out of that. You know. a lot has been made about this Saints offense and the changes. You know, you've been in a system, pretty much an organization over the last, 19 to 20 years. When you see a new head coach come in, he implements a system. Yeah. What have you seen from that system? I know we talked a little bit there just about the personnel inside out, but from the system overall, you know, when you talk about philosophy offensively as well as defensively, what, like, even subtle changes or at least playing to a team's strength, have you seen a lot of that so far? You know, because I know people talk about, well, in the preseason, you don't see everything. I don't think that's true. I think that you see parts of it. You may not see certain plays, but they've got to be practicing some of what, you know, that has been implemented. So I guess that's my question for you.
Yeah, and that's a great point, because I think this is where the last regime kind of went south very quickly, where they came in and said, okay, this is what we're doing, and now it's on the players to adapt to it. And Dave Canales came in and said, okay, let's assess our personnel. Who do we have? And what is the best offensive system to make these guys successful? You know, essentially saying, hey, we're not just going to cook a meal regardless of the ingredients we have. We're going to assess our ingredients, and based on that, we're going to figure out the meal to cook. So, you know, they looked at the offensive line, for example, and realized, hey, last year, you know, a lot of the mid-zone, inside-zone things that they were trying to do, it just didn't fit the personnel of what they have. So is there some of that? Yeah, there's going to be some of that, but they want to, again, be a power running team. What does Chuba Hubbard do best? He hits the hole real hard. So, again, you want the blocking schemes that, you know, fit what Chuba Hubbard can do. What are Bryce Young's strengths? Getting him out of the pocket, his ability to extend plays. So that's why you invested the money into Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis, and then surrounding him with playmakers and stressing things like getting the ball out quickly, 2.7 seconds, things you're going to see. Hey, the first guy who's open, that's the guy you want to throw to. They drafted Jatavion Sanders, and they feel they have a way to get the tight end a little bit more involved into this Panther offense. So all those things, I think, you know, sort of lend themselves to the identity of the offense. But the big thing Canales has said is, you know, the identity is not something we're going to force on them. You know, if we find out early in the season that, hey, we're doing this really well, well, that becomes your identity, and you have to go in that direction. And the other thing, and you guys saw this a little bit with Tampa playing them twice last year, the one thing that really impressed me watching some of the tape from Tampa, his opening scripts were excellent. You look at Tampa's points per drive, you know, within the first 15 to 20 plays of the game, it was impressive. It's the balance of run and pass. And as you guys know, that doesn't mean 50-50. That means being able to call run or pass when you want to, and the defense then is on its heels. So he's a real bright football mind. It's his first head coaching job, so I'm sure, you know, there's going to be things he's going to learn along the way. But I think the two big things that impress me is he's going to fit whatever offensive scheme emerges from all this around the strengths of his personnel. He's not going to force a system on his players that don't fit their skill set.
Now, Anish, I don't know if I've ever witnessed this. You look at Carolina total defense, they were fourth, giving up basically 294 yards a game. Passing defense, they were number three, and this is the one that got to me. I'd say, oh, they probably did pretty good getting after the quarterback and getting him down, not only quarterback hurries or hits. Pass defense, they were third, giving up 171.5 yards a game. But I thought the Falcons' pass rush was bad. They were dead last with only 27 sacks. So the question I have for you, put the warning wanted sign, pass rush wanted. Out of the 10 players to have one or more sacks last season, only two remain. Now what, I would say they desperately need Jadeveon Clowney to have another stellar season, or opposing quarterback to still have all day and pick the young cornerbacks apart. What's your take on that? I know that they had to catch their attention and definitely wanting to address that.
Yeah, so I think two things. Like, one, the defensive numbers, I don't think, tell the full story, because last year the offense was so bad. What we saw in most games is that teams who had a two-score lead would play conservative against the Panthers in the second half. They would run the ball. They would play field position, knowing that Carolina was not able to put together a 12-play, 75-yard drive and march down the field. They just couldn't do it. It just wasn't in the DNA of the offense with the injuries and some of the inexperience that they had. So teams didn't throw the ball a whole lot. That's why you're the number four passing defense. And there weren't a ton of opportunities to go get the quarterback. So people pointed to Brian Burns, who was on the team last year, and his low sack numbers. As you guys know, it's a lot easier to get after the quarterback in the fourth quarter or the second half when you're winning and you know the other team has to throw the ball. The Panthers led for exactly 0 seconds in the fourth quarter of a game last year. Their two wins came on a field goal as time expired. So there weren't a ton of opportunities to do that, but there's a very, very real concern about where does the pass rush come from. They signed DJ Wonnum, who had 8 sacks for Minnesota last year, but he has been hurt. He has not been hasn't really taken part in the preseason at all. He's been hurt since OTAs. He's got a quad injury. He's not going to play for at least the first few weeks. Amari Barno, third-year guy, developmental guy, they thought could be a situational pass rusher, another guy that's been hurt. Jadeveon Clowney has looked really good in camp. He's had a tremendous preseason. All the advanced numbers, pass rush, win rate, how much you buy into that. Clowney was a top five, top 10 guy in the league last year, but he has an injury history. That's very real. And, you know, outside of Clowney, DJ Johnson on the other side, second year guy, didn't really do much as a rookie a year ago. He's a bit of an unknown. So where does that pass rush come from? That is a very real concern for the Panthers going into this season.
You know, the one individual has not disappointed. You know, whenever you draft someone in the first round, can they contribute right away? To me, he's been a flat-out stud going into his fifth season, Derrick Brown from Auburn.
Yeah.
First round, 2020, you just look. I mean, one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL, I think. It seems like how you really stop him, you got to double-team him. That's one guy that has not disappointed, to say the least.
Anish, I'll give you a quick Derrick Brown story.
He's a problem.
Derek with Damian Lewis. LSU played Auburn in 2019, and that was a really hard-fought game. And Damian was getting beat pretty good by Derek early in the game. And he comes off the sideline, and Joe Burrow's in his ear about, hey, listen, you got to block him. And he says, there's like two of Derek Browns out there. And Joe told him, hey, just block one of them. Keep him off
me. It's like the Rocky movie, hit the one in the middle.
But Derrick Brown's been outstanding.
He has, and he is the anchor of not just the D-line, but that entire defense. The strength of this team, to me right now, it's the defensive line. It's the interior of the offensive line. And you know, some people may not believe it, but they've got pretty good depth in the receiving room. But that D-line, they bolstered that. You know, sometimes you can get a little too cute when you're building a roster in the NFL. Okay, we have this. Let's go get this. And we've seen this in the past. Good teams amplify their strengths. So they like Derrick Brown. They added A'shaun Robinson, who, remember, played with Aaron Donald when he was with the Rams, spent last year with the Giants. He is another colossus of a human being like Derrick Brown. They should be able to stop the run. The next step for Derrick Brown, who had 100-plus tackles, which has never been done by a defensive lineman since the NFL started recording tackles, had a tremendous season. Guy was averaging 7 tackles a game as a D lineman last year. But the next step for him in his evolution as a player is, okay, now as an interior lineman, can he get a little bit more pressure on the quarterback? And again, last year, you know, just the way the Panthers were built, you could double Derrick Brown. You could do things to him with A'shaun Robinson now. It takes a little heat off of Derrick Brown. Maybe frees him up a little more, but they're going to have to get a little bit of a pass rush from the interior, and they're going to have to blow up some plays from the inside of that D-line to help out the guys on the outside, which, again, is a question mark going into the season.
Now, when you're looking at receiver, I mean, I was like, I guess you got to give up some to get something, and the jury's still out with Bryce Young, but DJ Moore was always a stud. I looked at DJ Moore was winning as a receiver. I think he'll continue to have success with the Bears. But then you look, is Adam Thielen, is he still Bryce Young's number one receiver right now? How do you break that down as far as who do you trust? Because, I mean, you just the coverage is going to dictate where you go with the ball. But is Adam Thielen, is he the guy for Bryce Young, what you've witnessed so far in the offseason heading into the season?
I think he was the guy last year. And not to take anything away from Thielen, who had a really good season. But the guys on the outside just couldn't get the job done last year. Terrace Marshall struggled. He ended up being a roster cut. DJ Chark had trouble staying healthy. He was not the vertical threat that he was advertised as. So Thielen was kind of the underneath guy in the security blanket. Deontay Johnson, to me, is the guy. I think he's going to get a ton of balls thrown his way. If you're out there thinking, hey, should I draft him on my fantasy team? Yes, all caps, 5 exclamation points. I think Deontay Johnson's going to emerge as the number one guy. You know, he had a 1,000-yard season with Pittsburgh a few years back. They got him in a trade for Dante Jackson, former LSU guy, cornerback. He's in a contract year, and there have been issues in the past with him with drops, yes, but his biggest asset, he can run the entire route tree, and he can get open. His separation numbers are among the best of any receiver in the NFL. He's going to get open for Bryce Young, and he's going to get a lot of balls thrown his way. I expect him to be the guy. I think it's going to free up Thielen to work a little bit underneath. And then, you know, that next guy, is it the rookie out of South Carolina? Is it Xavier Leggett? Is it Jonathan Mingo, second-year guy from Ole Miss who had a really good camp? And, you know, I think Mingo might even start week one because Leggett's kind of been a little bit, you know, banged up in training camp. So I think that position is going to be fluid probably for the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season with Mingo and Leggett. And it's going to come down to production. But I think Deontay Johnson is going to be your surefire number one.
Now, when you look at, you know, cornerbacks, I think when all healthy, that's the big question. Are you healthy? The Saints might have, in the conversation, I think, top three as far as cornerback group. When you look at Lattimore, Paulson Adebo, Alante Taylor, then you add Kool-Aid McKinstry to the mix. But the question I have, and I think it's a lot like to do with, is Lattimore healthy? Is Paulson Adebo healthy? J.C. Horn, Joe Horn's son, yeah. You know, first-round draft pick in 2021. To me, he could play, but is he healthy? Where is he at? What's his status?
Yeah, he's been healthy, and they picked up his fifth-year option for next season. He knows what's ahead of him. And really, that has been the if that has followed his entire three-year Panthers career. If J.C. Horn is healthy, he is a bona fide number one corner. The reality is he's missed more games than he's played in 3 years. And as you guys know, availability means everything. And he just hasn't been available. And it's been, you know, kind of a little bit of these freak injuries, right? You know, wrist injury, broken wrist, broken foot. And so, you know, these things have popped up that kept him off the field for long stretches. When he's been healthy and when he's been out there, he's an alpha, no doubt. And again, if he's not healthy with the questions you have in the pass rush, you know, you start holding your breath a little bit defensively. But if he's healthy and he can take away one side of a field, it gives the entire defensive staff a little bit of liberty now to scheme some things up. And, you know, you don't feel as naked when you're sending, you know, a fifth or even a sixth guy on a blitz. So he's a game changer when he's healthy, and I think that's one of the big keys to the defense. If J.C. Horn plays 17 games, this is going to be a much, much, much better defense.
Anish, thanks so much for your time today. We know you're super busy, but, man, it really kicks in next week with the NFL season starting. So thank you so much for all your time and your insights.
So, Anish, who's your college favorites? You know, in these parts, we have this special show because the LSU Fighting Tigers are playing the Trojans in Vegas tomorrow night, and we got Deuce in the house and his expectations with the Ole Miss Rebels. Who do you have? Who's your highly expected team in college football?
Well, it's funny. I just watched Georgia defensively put the shackles on Clemson. It's still early. I like Oregon a whole lot. I really do. I think Dylan Gabriel going over there as quarterback is going to be a real difference maker. I think Ohio State's got a real chance. But again, I think the mystery in this season, I do like Alabama, but you know, you have to factor in Nick Saban's not there. And I know Kalen DeBoer's been incredibly successful. I think Milroe's got a big season in him. But, again, I think the fear factor goes away when you play Alabama and you don't see Saban on the sidelines. And listen, I think Georgia has now sort of established itself as, you know,
the marquee program in all of college football. Kirby Smart is still there. I still think this thing runs through Georgia, but you know what's going to be fun with a 12-team playoff? There's going to be more teams in it, and I just think as a sports fan, you know, we live for those moments where something unexpected happens, and I think in a 12-team playoff, there's a greater possibility of that. That excites me. I think it makes this college football season just so much more inclusive, right, where, you know, you'd get to a certain point late October, late November, you kind of know who's probably going to be in this thing in the end, and you kind of have an idea who it's going to come down to, and you know, you're like in that 7-8 range. You're like, hey, you got a long road. You're probably not going to get into the top four. Things are different now. More teams are going to get in. And to me, this is going to be a great year for college football. But I think if you ask me right now, I like Oregon. I like Ohio State. And I like Georgia.
And you know what I like? And watch, it's going to be an upset because it's not a series. It's one game. You know, you look at like NBA or Major League, and you play a series, the better team's going to win. But anything can happen in one game. That's what's intriguing to me. You have enough to say, oh, I didn't expect
because
that.
Because it's like the college basketball tournament.
Yeah, a March Madness, like, well, yeah. One game. It's not a series, it's one game. That's why it's more intriguing, like you said.
Yeah, and anything could happen. It'll be fun. Thanks, guys.
Thanks all right. So much, Anish Shroff, voice of the Carolina Panthers. Also, you hear him covering a lot of college football games throughout the year. We'll be back with more of a special edition of WWL Sports Talk live from Rouse's Markets on 4500 Chapatula Street. Bobby Hebert, like to tell you along with Deuce right after this break. We're back here on a special edition of WWL Sports Talk live from Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street in New Orleans. Mike, to tell you along with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Couple of scores in overtime. The upset. Vanderbilt defeats Virginia Tech 34-27. So Vanderbilt pulls off the big upset. They were, I think it was 13.5-point underdogs, went to overtime, and the Commodores pull off the big upset, 34-27 over Virginia Tech. Georgia beating Clemson 34-3. No shocker there. At least I thought it would be a pretty big spread between the two teams.
Well, Mike, just talk about that overtime score. Clark Lee had been questioned. He got an extension probably,
yes,
his second year after being there and, you know, not really having a, I don't want to call it a premier win, but a big-time win because I don't know when they went down Hawaii and they beat Hawaii. You know, I don't know if you
got
know,
one now.
Yeah, I don't know if you call that a premier win, but, I mean, this is huge, huge. And I think for them to be at home in front of a sold-out crowd, and here's the other thing, that stadium – they were working on, I guess the new stadium is ready now. They were working on that new stadium a couple of years ago because, remember, at times last year, they didn't know if they would even be able to play at their stadium.
Correct.
While it was being worked on. And so they had a sellout as far as fans. And then you get Nashville, it's, I don't know how far it is from Blacksburg or Virginia Tech, but, you know, obviously
it's not
they
travel.
Yeah, you could drive, yeah.
Yeah, they traveled, their fans travel. And Vanderbilt pulls off the upset to win by 7 in overtime.
Man.
You know, hey, look, the SEC is going to be tough sled, but to be able to pull that off and to say that we are progressing and improving, and I got some buddies that are pretty big Vanderbilt guys, man, they are on top of the moon because, you know, the comment always becomes, when is the SEC going to kick out, you know, Ole Miss or Mississippi State and Vanderbilt and go and get some of the other, you know, bigger conferences, the names type schools? And I don't think that they will ever kick out Vandy.
Hell no. We need a smart school.
Because of the academics. Yeah. Because of the academics. And so that drives up from a conference the look. And then normally basketball and baseball, they're normally pretty good.
Now.
Well,
really
good. There's nothing Atlantic Coast Conference about Cal Berkeley or Stanford. You know why they accepted them? Not only being California, that market, the San Francisco Bay Area, Stanford and Cal Berkeley.
Was that academics?
Yes, academics. Like Duke. We got Duke, Stanford, Cal Berkeley. What?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. As you see, oh, we got Vanderbilt. Yeah.
Is it true?
Yeah.
And it kind of stops right there. We'll be back with more of a special edition of WWL Sports Talk. We're at Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street. Mike D'Antilio, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number two right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two on a special edition of WWL Sports Talk. We're live from Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street in New Orleans. Myself, along with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come on by and shop at Rouse's. Big Labor Day sale. They got wild caught 16, 25 count headless. Louisiana shrimp, only $5.99 a pound. 5-pound bag, you could save $5 per pound. Got a lot of great specials here. Food, drink specials for the long Labor Day weekend. You won't be settled up as the LSU Fighting Tigers play the USC Trojans tomorrow night at 6:30. And you can hear that game right here live on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. And at 2 o'clock, Jeff Palermo and I will host the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. We'll take it from 2 to 4:30. We'll be back with more sports talk here from Rouse's Markets on Chapatula Street right after this news break.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back here on a special edition of WWL Sports Talk, live from Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street in New Orleans. Mike D'Antilio along with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Couple of scores in overtime. The upset, Vanderbilt defeats Virginia Tech 34-27. So Vanderbilt pulls off the big upset. They were, I think it was 13.5-point underdogs, went to overtime, and the Commodores pull off the big upset, 34-27 over Virginia Tech. Georgia beating Clemson 34-3. No shocker there. At least I thought it would be a pretty big spread between the two teams.
Well, Mike, just talk about that overtime score. Clark Lee had been questioned. He got an extension probably,
yes,
his second year after being there and, you know, not really having I don't want to call it a premier win, but a big-time win, because I don't know when they went down Hawaii and they beat Hawaii. You know, I don't know if you
got one now.
Yeah, I don't know if you call that a premier win, but, I mean, this is huge, huge. And I think for them to be at home in front of a sold-out crowd, and here's the other thing. That stadium they were working on, I guess the new stadium is ready now. They were working on that new stadium a couple of years ago, because remember at times last year they didn't know if they would even be able to play at their stadium.
Correct.
While it was being worked on, and so they had a sellout as far as fans, and then you get Nashville, it's, I don't know how far it is from Blacksburg or Virginia Tech, but you know, obviously
it's not
they
travel.
They traveled, their fans travel. And Vanderbilt pulls off the upset to win by 7 in overtime.
Man.
You know, hey, look, the SEC is going to be tough sled, but to be able to pull that off and to say that we are progressing and improving, and I got some buddies that are pretty big Vanderbilt guys. Man, they are on top of the moon, because you know the comment always becomes, when is the SEC going to kick out, you know, Ole Miss or Mississippi State and Vanderbilt and go and get some of the other, you know, bigger conferences, the names type schools? And I don't think that they will ever kick out Vandy.
Hell no. We need a smart school.
Because of the academics. Because of the academics. And so that drives up from a conference the look And then normally basketball and baseball, they're normally pretty good.
Now.
Well,
really
good. There's nothing Atlantic Coast Conference about Cal Berkeley or Stanford. You know why they accepted them? Not only being California, that market, the San Francisco Bay Area, Stanford and Cal Berkeley.
Was that academics?
Yes, academics. Like Duke. We got Duke, Stanford, Cal Berkeley. What?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. As you see, we got Vanderbilt. Yeah.
Is it true?
Yeah.
And it kind of stops right there. We'll be back with more of a special edition of WWL Sports Talk. We're at Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street. Mike D'Antilio, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number two right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two on a special edition of WWL Sports Talk. We're live from Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street in New Orleans. Myself, along with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come on by and shop at Rouse's. Big Labor Day sale. They got wild caught 16-25 count headless. Louisiana shrimp, only $5.99 a pound. 5-pound bag, you can save $5 per pound. Got a lot of great specials here. Food, drink specials for the long Labor Day weekend. You won't be settled up as the LSU Fighting Tigers play the USC Trojans tomorrow night at 6:30. And you can hear that game right here live on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. And at 2 o'clock, Jeff Palermo and I will host the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. We'll take it from 2 to 4:30. We'll be back with more sports talk here from Rouse's Markets on Chapatula Street right after this news break. Finishing up here in hour number two on a special edition of WWL Sports Talk. We're live from Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street in New Orleans. Myself, along with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come on by and shop at Rouse's. Big Labor Day sale. They got wild caught 16-25 count headless. Louisiana shrimp, only $5.99 a pound. 5-pound bag, you can save $5 per pound. Got a lot of great specials here. Food, drink specials for the long Labor Day weekend. You won't be settled up as the LSU Fighting Tigers play the USC Trojans tomorrow night at 6:30. And you can hear that game right here live on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. And at 2 o'clock, Jeff Palermo and I will host the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. We'll take it from 2 to 4:30. We'll be back with more sports talk here from Rouse's Markets on Chapatula Street right after this news break.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.